Open your Bibles with me, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. We're headed out of the first five books of the Old Testament, which are also called the books of the law. They're also penned by Moses, according to Jewish tradition, according to the scriptures, actually, according to what Christ teaches. These are all penned by Moses. They're also called the Torah. You may have heard that word. The most significant books in the Jewish Bible are the Torah, because it describes their lifestyle, describes them as a nation and what they're supposed to do, and their dietary codes and their customs and their the things that make them unique. And so the Torah is significant in that sense also. A zip tie. That's awesome. Hey, it'll work. Zip ties are wonderful. Duct tape, zip ties, hammers, glue, baling wire, those kind of things. They're all very significant. So we're in the book of Deuteronomy. As I said, we're headed out of the first five books. We're only hitting the highlights. We're not going through every single detail, as is my typical custom, because I just didn't feel like the Lord wanted me to do that. And so we're moving through and moving out of the first five books. We'll be moving next time into the book of Joshua. But before we do that, we need to take a stop here in Deuteronomy. I think I've told you before that Deuteronomy is Latin for second law. Literally, what's happening in the book of Deuteronomy is Moses is recounting the law that he received, or the law that they received 40 years before. Where you are in Deuteronomy is essentially they've traveled for 40 years in the wilderness. The beginning of their journeys, they received the book of the law in at the foot of Mount Sinai. They've traveled, they've been through trials, tribulations, difficulties, blessings, promises, all kinds of things, and they now have arrived on the far side of the River Jordan. And Moses is recounting to them all the things that have happened to them. Essentially, the book of Deuteronomy is a book of remembrance. Now, constantly, you'll hear Moses in the book saying, remember this, and remember that, and don't forget this, and reflect on this. And so he's constantly going through there. And the pinnacle, essentially, of that process that Moses is taking his people through here in the book of Deuteronomy is what we find here in chapter 8. These remembrances, and we're going to be down in verse 2 in just a second. Before we do that, I want to tell you a story about two elderly gentlemen who were talking about memory. These two elderly gentlemen were having a conversation, and they were discussing the woes of growing old, and we talked about it just a second ago. You know, it's not for, you know, growing old is not for sissies, and I'm beginning to understand some of that. You know, it's coming to me. I'm beginning to realize that. And these two elderly gentlemen were discussing the whole problems of growing old, and one of them said, you know, the worst thing is when your memory goes. He says, it's just really bad. And then he kind of said in a sheepish voice, he said, you know, my memory's so bad. He says, even though I have known you, speaking to his friend, I've known you all my life. He says, at this point right now, I can't even remember your name. He says, tell me what your name is. And his friend looks at him with kind of a surprise, and then he kind of got a sheepish look on his face, and he says, do you need an answer right now? Kind of the way it is. Memory goes, doesn't it? And it's not just for the old. It's for all of us, because God is sitting down through Moses talking to the children of Israel here in chapter 8 saying, don't forget. Don't forget. There's danger in forgetting. I want you to read with me here beginning in verse 2 of chapter 8. It says, and you shall remember, Moses says, all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness. Every detail, he says, don't forget it. These 40 years. That he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone. In other words, he kept food from them so they can know where their food comes from God himself. Interesting perspective on life, isn't it? You know, sometimes God withholds things from us for no other reason than the fact that we can realize it comes from him. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Just interesting. The man, not by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing, he says, verse 4, did not wear out on you. 40 years. Anybody got a 40-year outfit? Some of you may have it. Do you wear it? Do you wear it every day, though? That's the real question here. Do you wear it in a trackless wilderness? You know, I know you're waiting for the fashions to come back around, and I know how that is, you know. These people only had one fashion, the same one they left Egypt with. They wore it every single day. They washed it, you know, for a brief moment there, put it back on, and they continued to wear it. There wasn't a Walmart or anything in the middle of the wilderness. Clothing was handmade. And in the wilderness, by the way, there is There's no commodities there. There's no way to make clothing. They had what they left with, and they arrived 40 years later with the same clothing, notice. And it says, your clothing did not wear out. Now, that's a miracle, isn't it? Nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you to know that the heart, the Lord your God, was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. He was taking you through trials in order to knock the bad stuff off of you, straighten you up, get you ready for the blessing that was coming. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways to fear him. Now skipping down to verse 11. Beware lest you forget. This whole chapter, like I said, is about remember, remember, remember. Do not forget, he says, the Lord your God, by keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, lest when you have eaten and are satisfied, going into the promised land, and have built good houses and lived in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget. It's dangerous to forget the Lord your God. He brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of Flint, out of a most unlikely place. Verse 16, in the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, again, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do good for you in the end. Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and my strength and my hand have made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after gods, serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. Remembering is important. It's important for a lot of reasons, but the main reason is because it's dangerous to forget. Can be very dangerous, especially when it comes to the things of the Lord. Because if I forget, what happens to me? Well, I get to go through the same crazy stuff again until I learn it, until I never forget. So he says, remember, remember, remember. You went through some hard times these 40 years. God put you through a lot of trials. He put you through a lot of testing, a lot of humility, he says. So don't forget, so you don't have to do this again. I hate doing things twice. Don't you? You ever done that where you do something, and then because you didn't do it right, or because it's been a lap, you know, back to memory, because you forgot how to do it before, now you got to go and do it all over again. You got to really learn the whole thing. It really, really bothers me. One of my pet peeves. I hate doing things twice. I want it all to be done. And the same thing was true with the nation of Israel. He says, listen, remember what's happened to you so this doesn't have to happen again. We don't have to go here again. When was the last time that you sat down with an old photo album, or maybe family movies, and did some remembering? Any of you do that? My wife is real fastidious about scrapbooks and things, and we just sent a daughter off to college, and one of the things she sent her off with was just a scrapbook that she'd been compiling for her since she was a little girl, and she's been writing her letters since she was, she's been making me do the same thing, by the way, writing her letters and putting them in her scrapbook so that she would have them when she went away. And part of that is for the very sake of that she would remember who she is. She would remember who she's from and the kind of investment that's been put into her life. When was the last time you sat down with stuff like that and just went through it and remembered the things that have happened in your life? It's very important that we do that. Remember the birthdays, the vacations, the graduations, the moves, the acquisitions, the promotions, the demotions, the losses. Remember it all, the good and the bad. When was the last time you went through that? You know, it's very important that we do that. One of the reasons is because it is often true that we can't learn everything that we're supposed to know when we're in the middle of something. When I'm going through something, I can learn some things, but sometimes I only learn everything I'm supposed to know about that event, that process in my life. I only learn about it by looking back. It's only then that I can really see and really fit together everything. I get some things in the process, but only in the middle of things, sometimes it's my vision's a little clouded. As they say, hindsight is 20/20. So now that it's past, I can sit back and say, you know what? I can see God's hand in that. You know what? Here's some things that I'm going to not forget about that because I don't want to go through that thing again. It's very important. So many times we in life, we we don't take the time to reflect. And it's important that we do that because, mostly importantly, because it's God who guides us, is it not? It's God who's taken us through this process, the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. God's hand has been with you. Can't you see that? That's what we're going to be doing here this morning. I want you to just take some time as I'm babbling on up here, and I want you to think about your life's process, the journey that you've been on, the wilderness journey that you've experienced, and I want you to look back over that journey in your mind as I'm speaking to you, because it's the album, if you will, of the picture of wilderness experiences that Moses is taking the children of Israel here through. Don't forget, he says. Remember this event. Remember that event. Remember how this happened and how you reacted to it. Remember your experience. Remember how you swore that there would be no way you could feed and eat, and then sure enough, God feeds you from heaven. That you're going to die of thirst, and then sure enough, the most unlikely place, a flint rock, comes. By the way, there was, 3 million people? Probably two or three times that many animals, and it says he watered them out of one rock. So it's not a water fountain, guys. We're talking about a massive amount of water coming out of this rock. An incredible experience in the middle of a place where there is no water. Never has been. Never will be. So he's taking them through the album of the wilderness experience, and he tells them here two major headings of their wanderings and two major headings that we're going to be applying to our lives in just a minute. First of all, he tells them, number one, it's the Lord that led you. There might be a number of them that might say, well, sure wasn't the Lord. God loves us, and this was a terrible experience, and God wouldn't do that to us. It must have been the devil that led us. And Moses says, no, no, no. God led you. God allowed these tough things in your life. God allowed you to experience hunger and thirst. God allowed you to have only one change of clothes through this whole process. Nonetheless, it's him that did these things. And so, first acknowledging the fact that God led them. Secondly, how he led them. He led them through a wilderness, did he not? Not a tropical paradise, it tells us there in verse 15. He let them hunger. He let them thirst. He didn't go ahead of them and kill all the snakes and scorpions. They had to go through the middle of it, did he not? Why did he do that? He had a particular reason, didn't he? A particular reason. He gives them two reasons why he does these things with them. He says, number one, to humble you. Why? Because they needed it, didn't they? Number two, he says, to reveal, to see what was in your heart. Did God not know what was in their heart? Oh, yes, he did. God doesn't lack information, does he? He doesn't. He was opening, exposing their heart for what reason? So that they could see. You see, they were on a high horse when they came out of Egypt. Look how great we are. God of heaven is in favor of us. He defeats the greatest nation in the world at that time. The nation of Egypt just ravages the whole place, leads them through the Dead Sea on dry ground, and then all of the Egyptian army is drowned in it. They had a high horse that they were on. They came off that high horse, did they not? It took them 40 years. How long did it take you, by the way? Just a good question. These two headings, these two things, are the same things that God has been working in your journey. You have a personal journey, a personal experience with God. You're how old now, right? Well, we need to realize these two major headings over our personal journey, our wilderness wanderings. Number one, it is God that led you. You may be unwilling, as maybe some of the Israelites were, to acknowledge that. You may say, oh no, you don't know my life, preacher, and I don't. You don't know what's happened to me. It's been bad. And I would have to say, I'm not surprised. Life is tough. A lot of bad stuff out there. You can do everything right. In my experience, I've seen this many times. Everything right. Make all the right decisions. But because it's not just your life that affects your decisions, unless you live on a mountaintop somewhere in a cottage where nobody sees you, because you're influenced by others and their decisions and their directions. You can do everything right, but it's what they do sometimes that messes things up. I know it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. But I want us to acknowledge together, can we not say it is God who led us? Let me just say this to you. It's important that you acknowledge that. It's important. You say, well, God, and don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming God for evil. We cannot blame God for evil. But I do know this. There's not a thing that happens in this universe apart from God's permission. Not a single thing. There's not a cell that divides. There's not an atom that splits apart from his knowledge and permission. So whatever happened to your life, I'm telling you, whether you like it or not, God allowed it. He did. God allowed it. You say, well, that I don't like that. I don't like the way that makes me feel. And I don't know what to tell you about that other than simply this. The Israelites could look back over their lives and they could have said, oh, it couldn't have been God. It couldn't have been God. There's no way God could have done this. But let me just ask you this, just the same as I could ask them. They made it, didn't they? You made it, didn't you? It could have been a lot worse. If God was not in charge and the devil was able to do whatever he wanted to do, do you think he would actually be here? Let me just say that the devil's not getting to do what he wants to do in your life. Oh, he did some things God allowed, yes. But he's not getting to pull all of his strings. He's not getting to pull all his stunts, or else you wouldn't be here. You did make it. Why? Because it's God who led you. God can take, because God is so powerful, God is just indescribable, because he can take even the things that the enemy does, even your bad decisions, even the poor circumstances that you were raised in or the poor situation that you get dropped in because of someone else's decision. He can take all that bad stuff and still work it out for good. That's how great he is. That's what he's done in your life. He's done that. If you'll honestly reflect and see, you did make it, didn't you? You're sitting here, aren't you? Against odds that you and I don't even realize. We don't even fully understand. We made it because God is a good God. You know, the 23rd Psalm is a psalm that we reflect on quite often when we have funerals because it is a comforting psalm. It's a psalm that tells us, takes us from an experience in this life, even the walk, it says, David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. It's a great time to reflect. And David, when he writes the 23rd Psalm, he writes it from the perspective of a shepherd. And of course, in his young life, that's what he was. David was a shepherd. But don't ever read the 23rd Psalm and think it's a young man that's penning that. So let me just say this to you. I don't think a young man is capable of penning the 23rd Psalm. Because a young man quite often does not have any kind of reflection. He has no remembrances. He's making memories, is he not? David pens the 23rd Psalm as an old king. He looks back over his life and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me, he says. Think about David's life. David, any given time in his life, he could have said, where is God? God's not, surely he's not leading me as he runs from Saul, as he's slandered by his own people, his own relatives, selling down the river to Saul. Oh, we know where David is. Come and get him. He's in our territory. As he's mistreated by his own son, Absalom, there's a lot of places in his life where he could have at any point said, surely God is not leading me. God's not responsible for this. But as an old man, he reflects, he remembers, and he says, God is my shepherd. God has guided me through the good and through the bad, and all for the same experience. And he praises him there. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me, as we sing, right? All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes it's only in reflection and remembrance that we can understand that he led us. Sometimes it's only then. Not only do we need to remember that he led us, but secondly, we need to remember how he has led us. For the children of Israel, he led them through a wilderness where there were no new clothes, but they, on the other hand, they didn't wear out. He led them into hunger. He allowed them to get really upset and really hungry, and then he would provide. He allowed them to get really thirsty, and then he would bring water gushing forth, great provision. Have you seen that same pattern in your life? Famine and then feast. Have you seen that? This process where it almost you're up against insurmountable odds, and you're fully aware in that situation of your own inadequacies and your own inability and your own shortcomings, and then all of a sudden you get this incredible vision from God, this incredible answer of prayer. Have you seen that pattern? I've seen that pattern in my life. I've seen it. And I'm grateful to God that he's taken me through it. on the one hand, are in great want, and then on the other hand, we receive great provision. Sometimes it's only in reflection, only in remembrance that we're able to see that. God does the same thing that He did with the children of Israel. He does the same thing in our lives. He does it for the same reasons. It says there that He did that to the children of Israel to humble them. You know why He took you through the same process? To humble you. You know why God needed to humble you? Because, boy, did you ever need it. You ever notice a pattern in life that people typically go from younger, being prideful, and then as we get older, we mellow, right? Which is just a euphemistic way of saying that we got shot off our high horse. Is that not right? Is it not true? You know, I wished I knew as much as I did when I graduated from seminary at 26 years old. I wish I was as smart and had the whole world by the tail as I did when I was in 26. I mean, I had God pegged down. I had people pegged down. I had church pegged down. I had it all figured out. 26 years old. I mean, why is it so hard for people to get? I had it all figured out at 26. And then I've been a pastor for 20 years. And I've been a father for 20 years. And I've been married for 23 years. And, or actually 24. And I mellowed in that process. All those things and the combinations of those things had a way of shooting me down off my high horse, which I needed to come off of. I really did. God used the processes of life, the bad, a lot of times, more than the good. In fact, I have to honestly say, I learn very little when things are good. I learn a lot when they're bad. I really pay attention. Use the bad and the good in my life to take me off my high horse and to make me into a better person, more useful to Him. I'm grateful to Him. I have to say, there's a lot of things I went through that I was not appreciative of at all. And I was confident that it couldn't be God. It had to be the devil. There's no way God would allow this into my life. But then I realized, you know, there's nothing that this universe that God is not allowing. There's a purpose in this. I needed it. He humbled me. He exposed what was in my heart. Why? Because He didn't know? No, because He did know. I thought I was better than that, but I come to find out, you know, I wasn't. I needed a lot of help. I needed a lot of instruction, and it wasn't until He got me in a crack that I could realize that. He let me go there because I needed it. Can you see the same pattern in your life? Can you see the same pattern? Sometimes, like I said, it's only in remembrance and reflection that we can learn all that we're supposed to get out of those events in our life. Can't get it all when you're going through it. It takes a time of reflection. It's important for us to reflect and remember. And what was the ultimate purpose, by the way? We read over it very quickly here. The ultimate purpose, why does God do all these things to the nation of Israel? Why does He allow all these things in our life? Take a look again at verse 16. He says, in the wilderness, He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, that He might test you. Notice the last clause, to do good for you in the end. Why is God taking you through the process you've gone through? Because His goal for us is to do good for us. God doesn't enjoy taking you through the process. Did you enjoy disciplining your kids? I did not. Sometimes I want to discipline them quite a bit harder than they got, but I did not enjoy it. But I knew that if I didn't do this for my kids, there's no way that they're going to grow up and be able to experience the blessing that I want them to have. If I don't curb this tendency in their life, if I don't stop this direction that they're going, then they're going to grow up and they're going to have it really hard and really tough. I didn't want it for them. So I allowed them to go through tough times. Allow them to experience some difficulties that mom and dad had to hand down to them. God does the same thing for us. You think about it. You can't take a child who is rebellious and willful and prideful and disobedient and bless them. You can't do that, can you? No, you've got to take that stuff out of their lives so that eventually when the blessings do come, that they don't ruin it. Same thing happens with us. Why has God put you through what He's done through? Because He does want to bless you, but He knows He can't until this stuff is taken out of your life, until you mellow. until the things that are in your heart that he knew was there get bubbled to the top and you deal with them and you become a more dependent person upon him. He knew that. He knew that. Like I said, you may be going through a difficult time even now, but here's the reason. Why is God allowing it? Because he wants to bless you. But you got to be in a place where he can bless you. Will you let him do that? I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes. And I've been asking you to spend a moment here of reflection. I want us to just to do that just a little bit more. I want you to reflect over the album, the photo album of your life, the good and the bad, the trials and the blessings. And I want you to first acknowledge it's God who led me. It's God who led me. And then secondly, I want you to realize how he led you. He did humble you because you needed it. He did reveal what was in your heart, not because he didn't know, but because you didn't know. And then finally, I want you to say over your life, it's so that he can do good to me, so that he can bless me, so that he can give to me all the things that he wants to give me and that I won't ruin it. God, we thank you that you have led us. And how you have led us, God, to get rid of the sin in our lives, to deal with our own personal problems and issues, to bubble to the top the things that were in our heart that we otherwise would have never known had you not taken us through this process. God, we want to say thank you. God, we want to give glory to you. Because, first of all, we just want to be better people. We really do. But secondly, God, we know you're doing this because you ultimately want to bless us. Because you want to do good to us, but you can't until we're the kind of people that can take it. Thank you, God, for working on us, leading us through our own personal journeys, our own personal wilderness wanderings to this place, God. And we still are, in many ways, in that wandering, and we still will face other things. But, Lord, as we reflect, as we remember even today, we know that you were good. We know that you were with us. We commit ourselves again to you, to your words, to your ways, living for you, Lord, in this life. Thank you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you if you would please stand with me this morning. God is taking you through a process, maybe only for the first time, if you ever acknowledged that. Maybe only for the first time this morning you said, God, it was you. It was you. Maybe only for the first time you come to grips with the fact that he's trying to get stuff out of you so that he can really bless you. Let's give him glory today. Let's give him thanks today as we remember him. I'll be standing here. I'd love to pray with you, speak with you. The altar's open for prayer. Pastor Greg is going to lead us and the ladies. Your heart is stirred within you. You come as we sing together.